Christmas Jottings of Hinge and Bracket with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Bracket. With friends, neighbors, and some special guests in a Christmas show from Stacked and Trestle.
Christmas is a time for looking back and looking forward. For looking back on good times and old friends past and present. For looking forward to good times still to come. And new friends yet to be made.
What are you going on about?
I'm writing my Christmas diary, dear. Get on with your tinkling.
I'm tired of tinkling.
Well, have another satsuma, then. And this time, don't throw your peel into the flower vase.
I'd throw it into the fire if you weren't completely blocking it from my view.
Ah, the fire. Now that's a nice cozy picture for Christmas Eve. Christmas is a time for gathering at the family hearth and drawing one's chair closer to the blazing fire.
If you draw yours any closer, you'll set light to it.
Evadne, do stop distracting me. I'm trying to concentrate. And you know that I like my Christmas jottings to be a bit special.
Well, there's nothing special about what you've just written there. That bit about the fire is almost word for word off one of our Christmas cards.
Which Christmas card?
The one on the shelf beside you.
Oh, good heavens. You're absolutely right. Yes, I thought it sounded a bit familiar. Still, it's nice, isn't it?
Well, it's all right in a Christmas card from someone who works for the Solid Fuel Advisory Service.
We had some very pretty cards this year, haven't we?
At least they're varied. I say, do you remember that year when nearly every blessed card we got had a robin in the snow on it?
We had a white Christmas that year, too, didn't we? I remember on the Christmas Eve we made a snowman.
That's right. And Mother and you wanted to carry it indoors so it could hang its stocking up.
Well, it looks so lonely out in the garden all by itself in the moonlight. I say, do you remember last Christmas Eve?
Shall I ever forget it?
By this time last year, we'd just about got back from the co-op hall after the dress rehearsal.
By 11 o'clock, had we?
Oh, well, I can soon tell you. I've got last year's diary, huh?
All I know is we didn't get to bed until about 2 in the morning. I must say, I'm glad we're not doing a pantomime this year.
Oh, but the pantomime was fun, dear. Jolly hard work, but fun. Yes, yes, here we are now. Christmas Eve, you see. Mm-hmm. It was a few minutes before 11 when we finally got home from a very fraught dress rehearsal. We were just about to pour ourselves a nightcap and settle in our armchairs to unwind when there was a knock at the front door. And Evadne didn't look at all pleased when she found out who it was. Well, look who's here, Evadne. It's Maud.
What on earth do you want, Maud?
Well, she's just returning the key to the co-op hall, dear. She and Arthur have just finished down there.
That's right. My Arthur's hammered all them dents out of the king's crown, and he stuck the jewels back in it, all he could find. And I darned the princess tights and all. Oh. Mind, I had to do them in a different colour, but it shouldn't be too noticeable, seeing as where they was torn. And as long as he's careful.
So all is well, then, is it, Maud?
Ah, Doctor, all's well.
Well, can I get you a little glass of sherry now, dear?
Oh, thank you, Dame Mulder. But no, I've got my Arthur sitting out in the car, and he's figuring to get home and stuff his turkey.
Well, just one final thing before you go then, dear. I know you've got an awful lot to think about during the show, what with all your backstage work and your little heart, but you will listen for cues, won't you?
Oh, don't you worry, Dame Mildred, I listen.
Well, who on earth can that be?
It's all right. I'll get it.
Well, I'll be getting along then. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas, Maud.
Happy Christmas, dear.
All right, all right. Hello? Stacton 295. Who? Oh, Lorna, dear. Well, we've not been back long, you see. It was the dress rehearsal tonight. What? Oh, pretty dreadful. But you know what they say. If you have a bad dress rehearsal, it's bound to be right on the night.
Oh, now who's there?
Oh, don't worry. I'll go.
Sorry, Lorna, there's somebody at the door, dear. No, no, Evadne's gone. What, dear? No, no. I'm not going to tell you who our special guests are. Well, just that they're very dear friends of mine. Oh, yes, of course they're professionals. And very well known, too. Well, you'll just have to wait and see, won't you?
Hilda, it's Roland Quatermain. He's got a problem.
Sorry to barge in like this, Dame Hilda.
Oh, it's all right, dear. Sit yourself down. I'll be with you in just a moment. I'm sorry, Lorna. I'm going to have to run, dear. One of my actors has just arrived with a little problem. We never sleep in this business. Yes. Yes, see you on Boxing Day. Bye-bye, dear. Now, Roland, what can I do for you, dear?
Well, I just got home and was going through my lines when it occurred to me that there's a glaring anachronism in the script you've written.
Really, now?
It is a pantomime, Roland, not Ibsen.
And nevertheless, how is it that in a land from which all sharp objects have been banished, there's me walking about with an axe in my hand?
Well, by that time, dear, it doesn't matter, does it? The Sleeping Beauty's asleep, and they're all asleep.
I'm not asleep. I'm wandering about with an axe in my hand.
Well, you're a woodcutter. You've got to have an axe in your hand, haven't you?
Now, don't forget, Roland, 100 years have passed by the time you get on in that scene.
And while we're on the subject, dear, do you think you could try to make that character just a little bit different from your other ones? He is meant to be a rustic, you know.
I thought I was making him sound different. The trouble is, I play far too many parts.
And so well, dear.
Still, if Dame Hilda wants a little more characterization, I'll see what I can do.
Thank you, dear.
It's Peter and Mandy Moore, that pair of fools. You'd think they'd be exhausted after a long day's rehearsal, wouldn't you? I suppose I'll have to open the garden door and let them in.
Hello.
It's only us.
We guessed. Come along in, my dears.
Oh, thank you, Dame Hilda.
Thank you. Hello, Roland. I thought you were going home to study your lines.
I thought you were going to midnight service.
Oh, we are. We just saw the light from the road and wondered if Dame Hilda and the doctor would like to join us.
Oh, I say, how about it, Evadne? Why don't we all have a little glass of sherry to warm ourselves up and then go to the midnight mass?
I suppose I could just about totter there.
Well, that sounds a good idea. Perhaps we'd be wise to offer up a little prayer for success on opening night.
Opening night. Do you realize that in little less than 48 hours, we shall all be standing on that stage together, an eager company of enthusiastic actors, just waiting for that curtain to go up. I can see us now, dressed for the opening number, the smell of grease paint fresh in our nostrils, butterflies in our tummies, and we shall hear the buzz of the excited conversation from a capacity audience, of course. And then, on the stroke of 7:30...
Pantomime, pantomime,
upon a time, and takes us as the town clocks chime. And takes us as the town clocks chime. Bored. Bored. Where's the clock?
Sorry, Dame Hilda, I didn't know you'd start it.
Can't start again. All right, ladies and gentlemen, just a little technical hitch. Here we go again. Our tale begins with Once Upon a Time, and takes us, as the charm clocks chime, to a magic kingdom 12,000 leagues away, at noon precisely on the 1st of May. Here at the palace, the local royals, who for many years have wanted children, either boys or girls, have at last been granted their heart's desire, and there's now a little princess in a cot beside the fire. What shall her name be? Rose? Japonica? Her parents can't decide on the poor child's moniker. And the time runs out. I hope you're all still listening. For I wave my wand. And lo, we're off to the palace on the day of the christening. Listen to all the jolly laughter. The rafters are ringing once again. Now every heart rejoices. Hear the happy voices.
Up your mind.
No.
Well, no one can say I married a yes man.
We cannot call that poor girl 6 7/8.
You told me to pull something out of the hat, and that's what I pulled.
Well, stick your hand in again, dear, and pull something else out.
Oh.
Yes, well, go on, don't be squeamish. You know whose hat it is.
No, I don't like putting my hand in your hat. I never know what I'm going to pull out.
Well, what have you ever found in my hat except a pair of white gloves and a pork pie?
I once found a blancmange.
Yes, I know, dear, but be fair. I mean, that was a party, wasn't it? Now, go on, stick your hand in again and try again.
Oh, all right. There. How's that for a name?
Mossbross?
Oh.
We must be doing something wrong, dear.
I told you to put some names in the hat first.
Yes, but I mean, we couldn't think of any names, could we? I mean, that's the problem, you see. I mean, my family's never been able to think of names. Why do you think I'm King XXX?
I always thought you were the 30th.
The 30th what?
Well, the 30th king of that name.
What name?
Oh, well, of course, now you come to mention it.
Oh, wait a minute. I know. We'll toss to each other. I'll toss and you call, right? Now, heads or tails?
Tails!
Ah, tails it is. Ah. We'll call her Talia.
Oh, that's a pretty name. The Princess Talia.
Sire, a fiery chariot drawn by dragons approaches the palace gate.
I know who that'll be.
I am the fairy Sweetness and Light, and I come hot-foot from the land of Share the Light. I come hot-foot because the dragons have been breathing on my shoes.
Oh, I hope they've not been breathing on our palace gates. We've only just had them painted.
But should I go and stable yon fiery dragon, sire?
Yes, by all means. Yes, put them in the boiler house. We could do with some nice hot water.
Oh, and you might give them a can of Coke. That's a dragon-type dress.
Where did you drag it from?
Very cheek out of you, thank you. You can often feed the dragons, and mind they don't set fire to your spawn.
Very well, madam.
We're so glad you could come, Fairy Sweetness and Light. You're the very first fairy to arrive.
Really? Isn't the fairy dewdrop here yet?
Oh, no, not yet. We'd have seen a damp patch.
Then the fairy dewdrop's overdue. She promised she'd drop in, and Fairy Rose Petal is on her way. She's coming on her bike. When I passed her, she was petaling like mad.
Oh, I do hope they all arrive. I've catered for those fairies a royal hostess should. I've made a load of fairy cakes.
And a steak and kidney pud.
So, not to worry. I've brought all the gifts the fairies wish to bestow on the little princess. Where is she, by the by?
Dear me, I must get that water pipe fixed.
That's our little Princess Talia, in the cot beside the fire.
Oh, well, then I must get our little princess fixed.
But hasn't she been nice and quiet up till now? You've obviously got a little trooper there.
What on earth is that?
Oh, look, through yon window. A figure on a broomstick. Towards the palace come.
Oh, gosh, oh, golly, oh, cracky, oh, cramps.
There's only one person I know who rides a motorized broomstick. Especially one with a sticker reading, Boating Holidays on the River Styx are hell. It's the fairy Gloom and Doom.
To this christening I was not invited. I'm sick and tired of being slighted.
Oh, get back to Macclesfield. Well, let's face it, you are a bit of a party poop, especially in that nose.
Oh, fairy Gloom and Doom, we intended no insult. We sent you an invite many moons ago, but it came back marked not known at this coven.
And then somebody told us you were dead, you see.
Who told you that?
Oh, some old bat.
Dead? Ridiculous. She's only 3,200 years old, aren't you?
I'm 2,300 years old.
Really? And you look older. Well, that's because you won't use your oil of hule.
I thought it would make her vanish.
Vanish? Vanish? You talk of vanish? Soon from this place, all happiness I'll banish. For when I arrive, the mortal world turns chill. See, icicles hang from the ceiling now, and there's frost on the windowsill.
Oh, dear. Oh, feel my hands, dear. They're freezing.
Yes. Oh, I can't, dear, not while I'm sneezing.
Oh, look, I can see my breath floating there, like little clouds in the cold and frosty air.
You wouldn't see it if you didn't talk so much.
Why do you always say that?
Because you always talk so much.
She's just like this at home, you know.
Oh, dear, my pinkies have turned all blue.
Goodness me, your nose has too, dear.
I'll thaw things out, restore your circulation, and bring a little warmth to this chilly situation. I'll give the Princess Talia her gifts from Fairyland, if I can have a little music from my little band. On the sleeping child here below, these rare gifts I now bestow. The gift of beauty and the gift of grace, the gift of wit divine. Life of the fairy shall her step entrance. All who behold her in the mazy dance, sweet as a nightingale's, her song shall be, to which I add all powers of minstrelsy.
Oh, ye gods and little fishes, she's going to be a catch for someone.
Oh, I do hope she won't get big-headed.
Oh, don't worry about that, dear, she won't. I mean, just look at me. The same gifts were bestowed at my christening, do you see?
There's no need to worry that she'll get big-headed. Before she's very old, my dear, your daughter will be deaded.
Deaded?
Oh. Aye, this fair warning I give to you. A needle shall her hand run through.
A needle?
Aye. Aye, and within moments she shall die.
Oh, catch me, I faint.
I'm fainting too.
Oh, well, if you want to go first, I'll catch you. you've done. You've gone and woken our little one.
So what?
Well, you woke her up. You can jolly well get her back to sleep again.
I'm not going to get her to sleep again.
Oh, yes, you are. Well, oh, yes, you am. I had to say that to rhyme with... My magic may be weak and may not last long, but it will make you nice enough to join me in this song. The dream man's coming on a train of cars,
with moving beam windows and with wheels of stone.
Kiss your manners and kiss your heart.
All aboard, you little ones.
The railroad track, it is a rainbow bright
that runs right up into the starry night.
So come, you little ones, and have no fear. The man in the moon is the engineer.
Hush! Here comes the dream man.
Hush!
Here comes the dream man.
Now, you children, run up the stairs. Put on your nighties and say your prayers.
Right.
With Mr. Dream Man, till the daylight comes again,
and see all the wonders of wonderland on the Dream Man's train.
The Noah's Ark elephant has packed his trunk,
and Rip Van Winkle in his sleeping bunk.
We see them fill a tiny junk.
So all of all you little ones, the Tom Thumb riding on a big black snail, and that cute sitting on a Jonah's wheel.
A call that David rings the engine bell.
It's made with a whistle in an asphalt shell.
Hush! Here comes the dream.
Here comes the dream.
Hush! Here comes the dream.
Here comes the dream.
And now, you children, run up the stairs. Put on your nighties and say your prayers.
Ride!
With Mr. Dream,
Mr. Bear, till the daylight comes again,
and see all the wonders of wonderland of the Dream Man.
Oh yes! Be it known that in order to protect the Princess Telia from the curse laid upon her by the fairy Gloom and Doom, all sharp objects are from this day henceforward and for all time banished from this land. On pain of death, all knives are cut, all choppers axed, all axes chopped. There's no point in trying to hide your needles, and you'll be hammered if you're caught with a nail in the house. Look sharp, get shot of your scissors. Chuck out your brooches, or I'd not give 2 pins for your chances. Keeping shears is a sheer waste of time. And dispose of your lawnmowers, for you ain't going to need them no more, no more. Signed with a felt pen, this 1st of May, the christening day, by His Royal Majesty, King XXX. And you all know why. Okay!
And so the years pass gradually away, the princess growing lovelier with each passing day, and more accomplished too. She could sing and dance, and talk quite wittily to the royal plants. Her life seemed safe, but to warn of dangers, they bought her a guard dog who hated strangers. What?
Yes, Dame Elder.
That's your cue, dear. The guard dog who hated strangers.
Oh, sorry, Dame Elder. Wolf.
It's amazing. Sounds almost human, doesn't it? And they were inseparable as Gog and Magog were this little princess and her funny old dog. The dog they made safe by clipping its claws, and the pair of them would romp through the palace corridors. Hark! Here they come now, and while they play, I shall fly to my fairy home far, far away.
Wolf, wolf, wolf.
Don't run so fast, Moxie. I can't keep up. My poor heart's going pitter-pat, pitter-pat, pitter-pat.
I won't go no faster than I done at rehearsal.
Those are my lines, Maud.
Well, I don't remember that bit about your dicky kicker.
I just added that to give it a bit of colour.
Mandy, will you please stop ad-libbing, dear, and get on with it?
Oh, sorry, Dame Hilda. Oh, I feel in the mood for games. Would you like to play ball with me, Moxie?
Wolf, wolf.
Go on, then. Catch! Batter paws. Well, pick the ball up in your mouth, Moxie, and bring it back to Talia.
I'm trying to pick it up, but it's a bigger ball than what we had at rehearsal, and I can't get it in my mouth.
Poor old Moxie. She's getting on a bit now, and her poor old teeth are not what they were, alas and alack. Thank heavens for improvisation classes. Here. I'll pick it up for you, shall I, Moxie?
Yes, you might be able to get your mouth round it.
Well, thank you, then. How about a little kiss? Okay, be careful, Maud. You're taking all my makeup off. Here. We'll have a game of hide-and-seek.
Wolf, wolf.
I knew you'd like that. So, you run off and hide, and I'll count to ten and then come after you.
Wolf, wolf, wolf. Wolf, 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 wolf.
1, 2, 3, 4. Moxie's off down the corridor. 5, 6, 7, 8. Not many more seconds, must I wait? 9, 10. Here I come. Oh, don't the two of us have some fun? Moxie, Moxie.
The Princess Talia will rule this hour, for shortly she shall be in my power. Seeking her Moxie in an attic room, she now unwittingly approaches her doom.
Moxie, Moxie, where are you hiding? Oh, I've never been up here before. What's that sound coming from behind that door? I think I'll open it and explore. Oh, I haven't seen you before.
Come in, my dear, and make yourself at home. I'm only a dear, sweet, hard-working old crone. I have a living to make, if you know what I mean. So I sit day and night at this sewing machine.
Sewing machine? Why, what is that? I've never seen such a thing before.
Would you like to try it, my dear?
Oh, may I?
Of course you may, my pretty one. Just sit down and put your feet on the treadle. Hold the cloth with that hand, so.
Wait! Is that not a needle?
Well, dear, my poor old eyes, it ain't quite what they was. Touch it for me, would you?
Look, there! Ooh. It is! I've seen a life-size replica in the town museum.
Ah, that, dear, that is a safety needle. It will pierce paper and cloth, but nothing else. They even supply them in princess-proof packets. Now put your hand there and treadle.
Well, I suppose if there were any danger, Moxie would warn me. So, here goes. Ah, I pricked my finger. Oh, look, blood.
My bygone prophecy is coming right. She'll die before she is 18. Tonight.
Help, help, Moxie, Moxie.
So, you want your mangy old Moxie, do you? Well, she's here in this cupboard. I shall now release her from my spell. She didn't protect you very well. Get off, Moxie. You're doing it.
I tell you to pieces, Doctor.
If you were a real dog, I'd shoot you. So you'd attack an aged crone, then I shall turn you into stone!
Oh, Moxie, Moxie, I die, I die. Mother, father, why are you not nigh? Bye.
not nigh by, we'll tell you why.
I will tell you why we weren't nigh by.
The king was in his counting house, counting out his money.
The queen was in the parlor, see, eating bread and honey.
And suddenly I had a vision, vivid as a dream,
to tell me. And that, you see, was when we heard the scream.
We raced up the steep stone steps. We tore down the corridors.
I felt my trousers slipping down.
And I nearly lost my drawers.
We rushed up to that turret room, put our shoulders to the door.
And when the door flew open, we both fell on the floor.
That was when we smelled burning, and she will tell you why.
I'd left 24 blackbirds baking in a fire.
But to cut a long story short,
we gently carried our poor stricken daughter down to the very finest boudoir in the palace. We laid her upon a canopied bed all embroidered in gold and silver. We set a great stone dog at her feet. Now, tell you, I look so beautiful.
Oh, now, Mother, you mustn't distress yourself. It's only a fairy story, you see. Which is why, of course, we sent it once to the fairy Sweetness and Love. And like the wonderful trooper she is, she was with us before we could say,
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled pepper. If Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled pepper, then where is the peck of pickled pepper that Peter Piper picked?
You come too late, fairy Sweetness and Light. That's just where you're wrong, old potato blight.
Can you do anything to save our little Taylor?
We'd not want her growing up, you know, thinking her parents were a failure.
Yes, I can save her life. So now dry your tears. But ye all must sleep for 100 years.
Sleep for 100 years?
Yes, but don't you wince. Then she will be awakened by a prince. And if he'll plight with her a marriage vow, you'll wake as young as you are now.
A prince?
Yes, my dear. In 100 years' time, when the mist's all clear. This is the first voice that you shall hear.
Hello.
Are you sure you wouldn't rather go for the certain death option?
He comes from a far-off land so high and so mountainous that all the people have snow-capped peaks on their hats.
If only I could glimpse his face, then for all 100 years I could see him in my dreams.
And so you shall, my dear, so you shall. Bring in the magic mirror, Majordomo. I said, Majordomo, bring in the magic mirror.
I am trying to bring in the wretched mirror, but it's trapped behind the fairy fountain. Oh, oh, chaos at the back here.
That's sorry.
Well, he's pushed his magic mirror right through our boudoir wall.
That's the trouble working with amateurs.
The magic mirror, madam.
Well, don't stand in front of it. Stand behind it. You're the prince's majordomo now.
I told you. I've played far too many majordomos, and I don't even have a change of heart.
Oh, get your speech to me. Oh, shut up and get on with it. I'll never let you play any part. Look now in the magic mirror, Taylor. And your future husband will instantly appear.
Is that him?
That must be him.
Good heavens.
Oh, he's gorgeous.
Well, there's no accounting for taste.
You'll glimpse him in the future 100 years from now, preparing to set out to awaken you, I trow.
Hey, what a lovely day it is, Majordomo. Hand me my peacock feather cap, my ostrich plume cloak, and my eagle's wing tunic, for I must fly. I feel in my bones that something special is going to happen to die.
It seems very likely, sir. If you go out on those feathers, you'll probably be eaten by the cat.
Roland, you're my Majordomo now. You're supposed to be playing this differently.
How dare you! It is different!
You know your trouble, Majordomo. You have no class. You think that panache is something that you rake out from a stove. You see, your problem is...
Some people dress because they dress when they dress. But you just dress to get dressed.
Yes, sir.
It's only a hunch, but I'll bet you a bunch. You wear braces, a belt, and a vest.
Sooner safe than sorry, sir.
From the tip of your toes to your head, you look like an unmade bed.
Yes, thank you, sir.
You either got or you haven't got style. If you've got it, you stand out a mile. A flower's not a flower if it's wilted. A hat's not a hat till it's tilted.
You've either got or you haven't got the how it draws the applause of the masses.
When you wear lapels like the swellest of swells, you can pass any mirror and smile.
You've either got or you haven't got.
Got or you haven't got.
Got or you haven't got
style.
Well, if it wasn't so American, Dad, I know what you're going on about. Yes, and while we're on it, I'll tell you another thing. You've either got or you haven't got charm. Style and charm sort of go on in arm. With mother of pearl behind the buttons, you'll look like the asters or huttons.
You've either got or you haven't got teeth. It's an art, so be smart and don't waste it. Your vest must have scared the white Scottish plaid, and your shoes must be real crocodile.
You've either got or you haven't got. Got or you haven't got. Got or you haven't got.
I'd forgotten all about the dancers. Eat your heart out, Elsie Randolph. These heels were 6 inches when I came on. I'm getting shorter. The picture fades. Now go to sleep all, but have no fears. It's rock-a-bye, my babies, for 100 years. And now that they are all asleep, I will hide them in a forest deep. Grow trees, grow bushes, and grow brambles. Until this way, a young prince rambles. That seems to have brought the show to a halt. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've got 100 years to pass. Any suggestions? No. Well, I know. How about if I sing something? Yeah, I'll do the ring cycle for you then. Or we've even got time for an encore. Or shall I pass amongst you with copies of The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire? Or what about a game of Scrabble? I know, I'll ask Evadne. Evadne? Evadne! You are not supposed to be asleep.
I haven't got anything else to do.
Well, come out here and do something with me then.
Like what?
Well, like help me to while away 100 years.
How?
Well, how do you usually do it? I tell you what, we'll sing a song, and we'll get all the peasants to join in.
Maybe.
It'll be a peasant surprise. I should have tried to.
You didn't even tell me you were actually planning to sing that song you were going on about.
I am, you know. I say, Mr. Thing. Well, Evadne, what's the name of that funny friend of yours, the one who's come up from London dressed like a penguin?
The gentleman's name is Gordon Langford.
Oh, you know his Christian name?
Of course I do.
Oh, of course. I'm sorry, Lord Longford. Will you give your boys a wee prodlet? We're going to sing.
Well, I hope you're not going to be too long about it. If we miss the 11:10, we can't get back to town tonight.
There you are, Evadne, you and your London fly-by-nights. What are they, all buskers? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to listen very carefully to the words of this song.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we've sung it, we're going to ask you to sing it with us. Yes. And the words are rather complicated. You've got to get your tongue round them. So I want you to pay attention, please. Right, Mr. Plankton, if you're ready. You see, it's quite easy, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, you will. You just got to make sure you don't get your class mixed up with your last. Which can be a bit of a... I tell you what we'll do.
What's that, dear?
What we'll do is I'll divide the audience up. Have you wanted to do that for months?
Easy for you, dear, certainly.
I'll do this side, against my will.
I don't know why you're wasting your time, dear. My side are obviously far more talented, willing, agreeable, and musically able than yours are.
Possibly the odd one. I've got more on my side anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they're just sitting differently.
I've all preferred quality to quantity, dear. As you carry on, you'll see what you can do.
I know, she wears bifocals and sees three of everything. Always goes for the one in the middle and ends up with nothing. Now, I tell you... I'm going to count to three and just prove to this silly old crone that we can do very well on this side. All right, Mr. Dimpton, thank you now. With a
and there, come along.
Oh,
you can't you?
Yeah.
Thank you, you would, yes. What about the rest of you? Right? After 16. What do you mean, rubbish?
16 motorized pencils.
And I'll tell you what.
Yes.
Shall we combine them and see if they can do any better?
Oh, yes. Mix them up a bit like we did once at a matinee in Teapot.
Yeah,
they were there for 2 days sorting their hats out. All right, Mr. Dimwit. Thank you. Well, 100 years passed during that song.
That was it, was twice as long.
Oh, get off. Now, out in the woods, our prince rides by with a naughty twinkle in his eye. He sees an old countryman and comes to a stop. Enter a woodcutter. Chop, chop, chop.
I'm a jolly woodcutter. I live out in a wood. But being a jolly woodcutter,
I really suppose I should.
I say, fellow, I seem to be lost. Are you a woodcutter in these woods?
Well, Zor. I'm a woodcutter and I'm in these woods. But I'm not a woodcutter in these woods, if you see what I mean.
Aha, a rustic philosopher. A chip off an old blockhead. And what, pray, lies beyond this wood?
In truth, Zor, everything lies. For folk to say that where yon towers above yon trees do peep, a beautiful princess and an entire court are lying fast asleep.
A beautiful princess? Fast asleep? I think I'll go and have a peep.
'Tis said that there forever she must stay until a king's son comes to wake and carry her away.
A king's son, saidst thou?
Aye, Zor, a king's son.
Then I'll tell you a secret, and it's a gem. When it comes to king's sons, I am one of them. This deep wood I'll now stride, just one of seven brothers going to get a bride.
Ah, the weather breaks, so hail and farewell.
No, prince, stand still, you shall not pass this way. Forever as in death, the princess Talia must stay.
Take no notice of the crone. Stride on, your bride to seek. For the power of good grows stronger as the power of evil grows weak. Go forward.
Come back!
Go forward.
Come back!
Ahead of you, see the thicket opens as do the branches rank. But hurry, for they'll close at three, just like the Stacton Bank.
I'm going ahead. I must go ahead.
Aha! Fairy Gloom and Doom. The prince is on his way. My magic is now stronger than yours, and that you cannot gainsay.
Rubbish!
What do you mean, rubbish?
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Anything you can be, I can be greater. Sooner or later, I'm greater than you.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Oh, no, you're not.
Oh, yes, I am.
Oh, no, you're not.
Oh, yes, I am.
I can hold any note longer than you.
Now you can.
Yes, I can.
Now you can.
Yes, I can.
Now you can.
Yes, I can. The wood and found his princess as he properly should. To the palace we fly, lest we should miss him waking his sleeping beauty with a kiss.
Ah, there she lies, and what a creature! Divine in form, divine in feature. I kneel, or would if my tights weren't too tight. I bend, but I still can't reach her quite. I wonder, wouldst thou help me, miss? Prithee, sit up, lass, I'll give thee a kiss.
I can't sit up, P, you're leaning on my sleeve.
I'm sorry. She comes towards me, oh, the sweet. Now, at last, our lips can meet.
Was that you, my prince, my lips who press?
She wakes, she speaks, and I am doubly blessed. You're not offended?
Not at all. Aren't you the gentleman they said would call?
Hello.
Ah.
Yuck.
Why, look now. Everyone's waking up.
Oh, it's already morning.
He sleeps for a century and he wakes up yawning.
Looks a very nice day to me.
Yes, and it's your turn to make the tea.
Oh, come on now, Mother. Hop out of bed.
Our daughter's waiting to be wed.
What, today it isn't fair. I haven't got a thing to wear.
We've got our crowns and robes of ermine.
They might have been eaten by the vermin.
Don't be silly, dear. The mice and rats have been asleep just like the cats.
And what, I wonder, about the dogs?
I dare say they all slept like logs.
Woof, woof.
There I see. What did I tell you? There's a pup, obviously just waking up.
Oh, Exie, there's just one thing more. What is the name of our future son-in-law?
Why, dear?
Oh, excellent.
Well, you say it.
And the king and the queen grew steadily thereafter. So they all lived happily ever after. Listen here. Though this life is one of wine,
life is short, be a sport.
While the precious hours are flying, wear a smile all the while. Make a blast, that's the stuff. What's the good of worrying? Make the best of what you've got. Live for all your worth while you are on this earth. For when tomorrow comes, you'll put your chair. Oh, then it may be hell. It may be quite another time that everybody knows how fortune comes and goes. So you give hay while the sun shines, and then you get very big news.
Take it away, Your Majesty.
Come on, man.
Ah, very good. But I want to see everybody in the coffee bar in 10 minutes, please. I do have a few notes for you. According to my diary, Abney, you dozed off while I was giving those notes.
I'm not surprised. You took about 4 hours.
I took 2.5. It's all here in my diary. Still, it was a jolly evening, wasn't it?
Yes, everyone certainly seemed to enjoy themselves.
Yes. Perhaps we should think about doing another pantomime next Christmas.
Oh, let's just get this Christmas over first, Hilda. It'll be nice to have a quiet one for a change.
Yes, you're right, it will. I tell you what, I'll pour us both a glass of sherry, shall I?
Good idea.
It's almost midnight anyway. We may as well see it in. Why don't you play that song you were tinkling earlier on? I always think that it sounds so terribly Christmassy.
Well, with a title like Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, it could hardly sound anything else, could it?
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year for a travel will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the yuletide gay. Next year all our troubles will be miles away. Once again there'll be golden days, happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who are dear to us will be near to us once more. Someday soon we all will be together, if the fates allow. Until then we'll have to muddle through somehow. So have yourself a merry little Christmas.
Christmas with Ethne.
Happy Christmas to you too, dear.
Bless you, dear. Thank you. You're not a bad old stick, are you?
Not after all, no.
And to you at home, a very happy Christmas.
And a prosperous and a healthy New Year.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Been listening to the Christmas jottings of Hinge and Brackett, written by Gerald Frow. And joining Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett, we welcomed Jean Haywood as Maud, John Carlin as Roland Quatermain, and Chris Emmett and Francis Cheetah as Peter and Mandy Moore. Our thanks also to Hinge and Brackett's special guests in The Sleeping Beauty, Derek Giler and Peggy Mount, to the orchestra, directed by Gordon Langford, and to the members of the Stacked and Trestle Music Appreciation Society for their seasonal contribution. Production was by John Fawcett Wilson.
And our thanks to Peggy Mount, who played the Queen in place of Pat Coombs, who was unable to appear.